Welcome to the AWS Industrial Insights Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Ladarzak.
And I'm your host, Doug.
With each episode, we bring you an inspiring leader with practical advice to help you solve your toughest business challenges. Because we believe that sometimes, all it takes is one big idea or one piece of wisdom to change your business forever. So thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's show.
Thank you for joining today's AWS Industrial Insights. I'm Doug Bellin, one of your co-hosts here with Industrial Insights, and joined today with Scott Ladarzak. Scott, how are you doing?
I am great, Doug. Good to be here. Thanks.
And today, we're joined with a special guest from Schneider Electric, Zach Nimborker. Zach, thanks for joining us today. Take a moment to introduce yourself and what you do at Schneider Electric.
Thanks for having me, Doug and Scott. I run a global technology services organization at Schneider Electric. I joined about 5 years ago. I was brought in to do cloud transformation and the network transformation, but quickly my scope evolved into much more. We had very disparate global infrastructure standards. I was asked to take over a global infrastructure, which included data centers as well and the colos. That expanded into digital workplace, and I now have data analytic and data platforms. So as you can see, the scope evolved immensely over the last 5 years. And so my team and I, we run large transformational programs here at Schneider Electric to modernize IT technology, and we have fun doing it.
Sounds great. I know that there's a big project that you guys are just finishing. Could you tell us about the SAP migration that you've been going through?
Yeah, so Schneider is known for a lot of acquisitions, mergers and acquisitions over the past several years. Schneider is a 186-year-old company. Over last many years, we've acquired a lot of companies. So our ERP estate grew substantially. So at one point, we had 78 ERPs in the environment. As you can imagine, many of those ERPs sit on legacy ECC, legacy infrastructure, and each country had their own ERP. Each line of business had their own ERP. For most part, we've been consolidating those ERPs, but mainly we're here to talk about a tier one ERP strategy and a tier two ERP strategy that Schneider has. What do I mean by that? We have looked at North America business, and we've basically tried to consolidate ERP systems that we have. You know, we still have a legacy mainframe. Our quote-to-cash system sits on the legacy mainframe. And what we would try to do is focus more on revenue creation from a country perspective. North America for Schneider Electric is about a 7 billion euro revenue today. We want to increase that double digits, 14 billion over the next 5 years. So that poses a very interesting challenge when you have these legacy systems that are sitting and of course the compute power within those systems is very slow. So what we looked at is building a private AWS cloud environment for a project called Titan in North America. This is only specifically for North America. Rest of the world, I will talk about it here in a little bit. They're kind of on a different tier ERP program. We launched the program a few years back, slowly started building our environment in AWS on our private AWS tenant, as opposed to doing it with SAP Rise or SAP Public Cloud. This was primarily private. We've launched that program. Now we are processing heavy volume over the new system. And, we've seen 30 to 35% improvement in performance already, migrating from on-prem to AWS Cloud.
You mentioned a couple things in there. What were those drivers for decision when you have things like SAP with their RISE program and you can't create it on your own? What were the decision and the drivers for you to go down one path versus the other?
Yeah, so SAP Rise is fairly new from an adoption perspective. I know a lot of SAP customers are moving toward Rise, but I would say popularity of Rise just started growing maybe about 2 to 3 years ago. Schneider Titan program in North America launched maybe 10 years ago. So at that time, for us, the private cloud was, you know, it made sense to us as opposed to looking at any other option. Rise was still kind of maturing, so to speak, but now it's fully mature. There's nothing stopping us from, you know, moving our private AWS environment into Rise down the road. We are always open for that option. But we try to maintain and manage it within our ecosystem, meaning our resources, you know, it's fully in-house resources that manage the program. And who best to do it than our ERP teams that have been caring and taking care of a lot of the legacy systems. They knew the processes, we mapped the processes, you know, there was a lot of customization that Schneider is used to, created a lot of complexity there. So I think using our internal resources made a lot of sense. That's why we opted to go private.
Okay, cool. What about, tell us, Zach, a little bit about maybe some of the fears and challenges and things you were maybe struggling with or working through, I should say, at the beginning of the project.
Yeah, so technology initially seemed like something new, but when we kind of look at the infrastructure that's sitting in AWS today in our private cloud environment, it's no different than what you would find in a legacy data center, but it's modernized, it's on demand. However, quickly pivoting from our fear of technology to more of, hey, Schneider is used to a lot of customization. It was more of a process-driven fear than technology-driven fear. Technology is the easy part in most cases. It was having our lines of businesses adopt to standards instead of customizing. I think that was the biggest challenge that we faced. And we still do rest of the world where we have these small ERPs in countries like Italy or France. There is a lot of customization for the local businesses. That has been our biggest challenge. Technology, again, is the easy part. It's the processes.
So if we look at this, you know, identifying that from the beginning is always important. How did AWS make it easier for you?
So we have a cloud strategy within Schneider Electric where we set enterprise systems. We standardize on AWS. Any digital offers, customer-facing IoT ecosystem that Schneider has stayed in Azure. So that decision, that strategy made it very simple to migrate a lot of our enterprise systems that sit in a data center into AWS. So this was a more of a tech debt strategy where we were trying to modernize our infrastructure. So AWS, as our partner, we have launched a cloud migration program. And ERP migrations, it was part of the tech debt program as well. We've migrated a lot of on-prem ERPs into AWS, apart from Titan. So Titan is one program which is sitting in the same tenant as legacy ERPs that we've migrated across the world into AWS. That was purely lift and shift, right? Titan is a greenfield ERP strategy. Then you have the lift and shift ERPs. So it was, for us, it was a no-brainer, leverage a partner like AWS to build our strategy to modernize our infrastructure.
Right. Right. You mentioned before about, I mean, I get there's always a level of customization that's going to be required in certain areas. How are you pushing or driving or incentivizing to limit that? Because I've worked for companies that were similar, right? We're acquired a lot of different companies and had all these different systems. So I think what you're describing is going to be pretty relatable for some of our listeners. So how are you pushing, driving, incentivizing to kind of to limit that. Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit on a very interesting point that a lot of companies face. It's the executive sponsorship. So when I say that, our CEO, CFO, and our supply chain leadership team, they're all aligned on simplifying. That is one of our missions at Schneider right now, is to simplify processes, simplify our systems, simplify so we can generate more revenue. We can focus on things that actually do matter. So we do have a buy-in. We have a steerco at the board level. We have engagement. So there is a change board now in place. It's all with executive community. So if anybody wants to customize ERPs, it has to go through the change board. If the executive community says it's a no-go because you're trying to overcomplicate this simplification strategy that we have, and that was not there before. So the lines of businesses would get into a war room with the project team. They would say, we need this, we need that, customization. And before you know it, the out-of-the-box solution starts looking more like what we had on-prem. So we do have a massive executive community sponsorship and board-level sponsorship to stop the customization, or at least limit it, I would say.
And everybody always comes up and says, but I'm special, right? So how does that equate? You know, hey, this is so unique in my business. I can't do what another org is doing from that standpoint. So how do you work through that?
So that's exactly why the change approval board was put in place, is to go through the community of executive leadership, including the CEO and CFO, right? So you've got the top-down approach to drive standardization. Before, of course, lines of businesses in each country had the flexibility to customize the processes. So we looked at common processes across the globe and try to standardize on that. Earlier, I mentioned another program, Rest of the World, not North America Titan. We do have a tier one strategy, which is one ERP strategy. That program is called Unify. That is essentially looking at SAP Public Cloud. And the SAP Public Cloud, as you know, comes out of the box. There's very little customization in it. You could request it, but they're trying to limit the customization because they want it to become more of a go-to-market solution for a lot of the companies out of the box. So you have one ERP strategy across the world as part of Unify in SAP Public Cloud, and then you have, which is also in AWS, by the way, and then we have the Titan, which is a North America-based program, which launched a few years back. Ultimately, the reason we say Tier 1, Tier 2 strategy is Tier 2 is the Titan program. Tier 1 is the one ERP program. Could they merge down the road? Absolutely. But Unify, as we see it, is trying to consolidate 78 distinct ERPs out there. It's going to take a few years, probably 5, 6, 7, 8 years to get this mission accomplished. It is a very bold mission. I will be honest with you. We are all we're all on board to make it happen. And ultimately, the result is simplification. That is the North Star. That's the driving force here. So with that said, the public SAP cloud, very little customization. So, and again, it has to go through the board.
I like the board idea. I'm curious if this is kind of a common theme amongst bigger companies like yours, where, you know, having a board, I like the idea of C-levels on that board, because then, Doug, to your point, everybody who's a unicorn, I'm unique, I'm different. Well, you know, now you have to have a very valid business case if we're talking to C-levels. So good tip there. What about, and I know, Zach, you're still obviously in this journey. So what about goals, or, you know, did you have an ROI for this project, or how did you break it up to decide you're going in the right direction? Because if this is going to take ultimately a number of years, how are you deciding, you know, you're successful as you go?
And Schneider is a 36 billion euro company, revenue-wise. We have aspirations to grow Schneider to 50 billion in the next 5 years. To achieve that goal, we need systems that are operating at peak level,
right.
Including our ERP systems. So necessarily, there hasn't been necessarily any ROI conversation, more of modernizing our systems to achieve that ultimate 50 billion goal in the next 5 years. Once we achieve that organically, of course, you're going to get benefits out of launching these new ERPs. There wasn't any ROI-based conversation. We knew we needed to do this for revenue growth. That's our ultimate measuring metric, I guess, instead of ROI.
Have you noticed any improved data analytics capabilities or opportunities that maybe you didn't really think about in the beginning? So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think earlier I mentioned about performance gains. We've already seen 30 to 35% performance gains from just moving from our on-prem to the cloud. And on top of that, we layer analytics such as, what is a line of business invoicing from a PO perspective? We can get those reports much quicker now than we had in the past, because when you think about multiple system integrations that needed to take place on an on-prem deployment, now you have everything cohesive within the cloud environment together, and it's connected to the best of breed. The analytics, the processing of the analytics is much more faster as well. All of the data is at our fingertips now, as opposed to going and collecting via spreadsheets from many different systems. Now we have an integrated solution. The reporting through Tableau is a lot more easier than it had been in the past.
So even with both the public and the private, you're able to get to the data from a corporate standpoint, correct?
That is correct. And then at Schneider, we've standardized on Tableau reporting. So before, as I mentioned, we were primarily using spreadsheets. Our CFO's goal is to kill spreadsheets, and we're getting there. We're not quite there yet, but we do use Tableau for our analytics dashboards.
That's good to hear. As you started the project, looking back 2 years, 3 years, probably 10 years when this really started, you always look and try and understand what some of the challenges are going to come up. What's a problem that you kind of see, kind of looking across what others may have done. What are two things that popped up that you didn't think about at the beginning that would be good lessons learned for others out there?
Or more than two things. Maybe there's more.
If you got 10, we got time. But two on that you just go, wow, if I had known that at the beginning, why didn't that, everybody needs to know this basic thing.
Yeah, I think it was more to engage and do more road shows with our lines of business, going to different manufacturing plants, getting the local teams more involved up front, understanding what customizations that they're looking for, and trying to showcase some of the features and functionality with the newer ERP systems that could address those customizations that they're looking for. Maybe they didn't need that, right? They just did it in a different way manually, but now, through the new systems, we could do it more in an automated fashion, making their lives easier. I think roadshow, getting the business involved up front is super critical. Technically speaking, a lot of IT organizations out there, for many of the customers that AWS has, they're probably more focused on, hey, let's upgrade the system. Let's upgrade the software. Let's upgrade the tools that we provide to the business that's using it. What I have seen is, you fail doing that because you haven't really engaged the workforce that's actually using these tools to understand really how do you harvest the capabilities of the new system. And we started doing that, and I have to tell you that we've definitely seen increased engagement from our business stakeholders. They're more receptive to the change, leading into the other challenge we had was change management, right? So how do you do the change management with such a large organization? We struggled initially a bit with that, but once we started engaging business teams, things started going a little bit more smoother. And then as far as other challenges, again, it's more to do with people adopting to change from a customization perspective. Again, I keep saying customization, I'm probably beating a dead horse here, but that is one thing that's going to kill a program like this, is over customization. You're basically moving what you had on-prem to the cloud. That defeats the purpose.
What about, I mean, I like this idea of a roadshow. I'm in marketing, so it sounds like you were out marketing this to the various business units, right? It sounds kind of basic, but I do think in many ways, if this is treated as a top-down, thou shalt do this, versus going out to each business, explaining what's happening, listening to the concerns around customization, and maybe addressing those before you even get started, I could see where that could really improve the buy-in and movement, speed of movement for the different groups. So good stuff.
Yeah, I think over communication is a great learning. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the roadshows included going to manufacturing plants, right? Sitting with the leadership at the manufacturing plants and people that are working at the line.
Oh, now we're talking, Doug. We're getting into this whole, we've been talking about IT and OT coming together for I don't know how many years, Zach. So I love it. So yeah, that's a very good clarification. So you weren't just meeting with IT at the various companies. You were meeting with the OT audience, yeah?
Absolutely. It's the factory workers on the shop floor who actually use the system, who we are catering to. We went right to the source. And, again, getting their engagement was huge.
Moving them from Excel to beyond. Doug, how many customers do we talk to are still, not that there's anything wrong with Excel, but at a scale, it's just not going to be very...
You talked about kill the spreadsheet. There's still a lot of customers out there that are trying to kill the clipboard.
Indeed.
So indeed. Basic stuff paper sometimes for that. And there, part of it is resistance to change from those operators. Well, we write this down every time. Why? Because we've been doing it this way for 20 years. Why? Because the system told me to, and I got certified that this is the step we do. And I think that's understanding what those steps are, but understanding how you're going to make their roles better as you move forward, not just because this is how we've been doing it forever, is always a very important thing to come across.
Absolutely. And I think, this is a journey. Of course, technology is changing so fast. SAP, you could come out with a new offering that could be better than their public cloud offering today, right? I mean, who knows what SAP is got cooking, but being able to adapt to, pivot and change going from private to public cloud, whether it's in AWS or any other cloud providers, SAP ultimately is driving transformation within their own ERP software that we should be able to easily adopt. So if we are getting incrementally a step closer to being able to pivot and adapt to anything new that SAP has to throw at us, we're already in the cloud, right? So the transition becomes that much more easier.
That's great. What's next for you and the team? I mean, here you are, we've talked a little bit about some next steps, but what are the next steps in your milestones?
For us to continue adding more our manufacturing plants to Titan in North America, continue to monitor the revenue growth goals that we have. We are processing several billion euros worth of transactions already through the new system. We have more manufacturing plants to onboard into the system. Once that's all completed, we could definitely call North America Titan program complete. But as you can imagine, the team is busy working on Unify as well. So we've got tier one, tier two ERP strategy. It's going to continue for a few more years, but we're getting there. Incrementally, we're getting better and better at it. Ultimately, in North America, we want to get to 14 billion in revenue. We're currently sitting at 7. That's double. in the next 5 years. But we think the system is in place that can help achieve that revenue growth.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, hey, listen, Zach, thank you so much for getting on with us today. I love the tip on the roadshow. I think that's good stuff. And I think our listeners will be able to glean some good nuggets out of this. So, Doug, anything to add?
No, it's been a joy talking with you. And thanks for the insights on here.
Thanks for having me, guys.